Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Come Out of Her, My People show. I'm your host, Mark Collin. Hopefully by now you know this is a show where we talk about so many aspects of that admonition from Revelation 18:4 that says, come out of her, my people, so that we do not partake in her sins, whoever her is, and we'll come back to that because we've been talking about it for years at this point, and therefore, hopefully, do not partake of her plagues, the plagues that are increasingly obvious and at this point are almost undeniable. I have suggested, especially of late, that the plagues may even go nuclear before this is over. I think that's getting more obvious by the day. There was a story that came out late this afternoon, kind of escalating, essentially saying that the Speaker for the Traitors had decided, because there are some the House Freedom Caucus that just aren't buying what he's pushing, and they're trying to hold him to the terms of the deal that they made when he was elected Speaker, well, he's going to send them all home 3 days before. Guess what? He's going to send them all home 3 days before there may be an escalation towards nuclear war. So essentially, I saw an interesting piece from Hal Turner's radio show, and he said, among others, and I think I'm in agreement with him here, he ain't buying it. McCarthy took the unusual and extraordinary step of canceling votes for the rest of the week, sending lawmakers home just 3 days, he noted, before the largest ever NATO exercise simulating a war with Russia. This on top of recent stories saying that the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson, where the fighters and bombers and so forth that the U.S. has had mothballed in the desert for years, are being, at major taxpayer expense, refurbished and set out to, whatever it is, the American people aren't being told much about it. The public reason was a revolt by those 11 members of the House Freedom Caucus who ground proceedings to a halt. But bear in mind, this is just 1 week after all the members of the Senate were given satellite telephones in case of, quote, a disruption to U.S. communications occurs. And that was just before Memorial Day weekend holiday. Is this an exercise? Well, you know, there are certainly strange things afoot. I don't buy it, says Hal Turner. I don't buy it one bit, is the reason. Here's something else. And he makes a good point. I'm going to suggest that there are a lot of other things going on as well. And essentially, nuclear war is one of those things. Major economic worldwide meltdown is another. And by the way, so would a judgment from on high, expecting or reflecting any number of those forms, right? The four horsemen of the apocalypse, the plagues that are described in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy, any number of things essentially that we can, essentially, if we have eyes to see, watch build at this point. So originally, as I was thinking about the show for today, I had a temporary or at least a potential title. I don't think I'm going to use it because I'm going to go in a slightly different direction, but at least it'll fit. And that one was something along the lines of nowhere to run to, nowhere to hide. And there are people saying, oh, we have to escape to the red states. Now, the reason why I think that's ironic is because the whole point of calling them red states was to hide the fact that most of the states are now red to the core, communist red. So the communist sympathizing newspapers and waste stream media decided, hey, we'll pull a fast one on them. We'll gaslight them a bit. We'll call the really communist states blue. And we'll call the conservative anti-communist states red. That'll fool them for a while. Well, nowadays, the question is, the red states, the blue states, if they come in and take over and essentially do what Soros has been paying DAs to do, and we're seeing that writ large, places like Texas, where there looked like conservatives were headed, Florida too, there are certainly moves in the right direction on the one hand, but ultimately, I think, and politics and scripture tend to agree on this point, there really is nowhere to run to, nowhere to hide. The mark of the beast and the things that are being done at a national and even international level are intended to be universal. You won't be able to escape it. Now, what does that mean? I think what it means is come out of her. We have to recognize that our only salvation is, in fact, in him, and that what we need to come out of is the whore church, the whore state, the whore church state, the whore everything that is essentially traded essential liberty for a little temporary security or traded our birthright for a cup of pottage, right? We've talked about all of these elements, but what I want to try to do today is connect even a few more dots with what is really going on a, international level, but certainly a national level with something that is, I would say, downright satanic. Let's just talk about it. Pride Month, the month of June. That's the topical focus, and I think we'll see how all these dots connect. So I've got several stories I'm going to lay out to outline that. These are all within the last week or so. One of the most evil corporations in the retail world, Target, has circulated a memo claiming that those who don't support transgender mutilations and their grooming of kids, and they've been doing it for a long time, are extremists. And I'm not going to go into detail here. It's disgusting. But there was a memo that has gone viral. The company is turning up the heat against its own customers. Well, some of them are former. Hopefully many of them, if not all of them, are former customers. The internal memo was entitled Threat Overview, and it called Target's customers extremists for daring to oppose their transgender grooming agenda. I would say their abusive and satanic agenda. All right, well, what else is new? How about this one? The Biden Fuhrer announced that he's going to hold, well, actually his puppets, puppet masters announced, and he, danced because if he doesn't dance, they may not change his diapers. Anyway, the White Whorehouse is going to hold the largest pride celebration in the history of a once-free republic as the economy teeters on the brink of collapse. Now, this is from several sources, Reuters, Breitbart. Biden is going to host the largest pride celebration in history as Americans struggle to pay for groceries, mortgage payments, and energy. The LGBTQIA+ pride celebrations will be the largest ever, and he is announcing at the same time new measures aimed at pushing grooming on kids, transgenderism in the cesspools, the indoctrination centers, and other so-called progressive ideology. And the event, which is being held on Thursday, is being billed as a celebration of, quote, LGBTQ families. Now, isn't it funny, folks? Real families that are LGBTQ have a tendency to what? Not reproduce, as it turns out. But if they are able to steal other people's kids, especially groom them in schools, I guess that solves at least part of that problem. Breitbart said they're also going to focus on book bans. Now, book bans means when conservatives say, you've already banned the Bible, and we don't like the porno that you're teaching kids about anal sex and fisting and all this kind of stuff. So we're at least going to say, don't put those in the kiddie sections and teach them to 7-year-olds and the preteens. Well, that's not a book ban, folks. Book bans are what has actually been going on. They banned the Bible, as you know, from most public schools and certainly curriculums years ago. Not so much for some of the pagan religions, which are now taught and even mandated in schools, cesspools. But we're also seeing other things like the banning of any narratives, anything that opposes the official narrative and so forth. So you want to see a book ban, look at Twitter, even post-Musk. Look at the things that are being done on to Facebook, socialist media, things that are being dismissed from, well, Fox. You can think of the obvious examples there. All right, I think you get the point here. The Pride celebration, there's something horribly wrong here. How about this story related, and it happened about 2 days ago. A shocking video shows a Christian man who was arrested for simply reading the Bible out loud while standing on a public sidewalk near a so-called Pride event. The man, whose name was Damon Atkins, was exercising his First Amendment rights in Reading, Pennsylvania, and their first ever Pride March und Rally, supported by the city's socialist far-left Democrat mayor, Eddie Moron. I don't know if I pronounced that right or not. And in the footage that was taken by another guy who was accosted by the same pig, oops, did I say that? The same communist sympathizer, anti-scriptural abomination in blue. How's that? A guy who basically put his hand on a Bible and lied. And he says, you got no First Amendment rights. Not in this country. Not if I'm the pig out here that's enforcing crap that is antithetical to the oath that I took before a God I obviously don't believe in. If you catch my disdain, folks, for these kinds of criminals that are acting under color of law, you're on the right page. Anyway, Atkins told the so-called officer he was on public property. The officer agreed, saying it's public property, before telling the demonstrator, let the Pride attendees have their day. No, it's not their day, folks. It's their month. The man said, nope, he was going to continue to preach to the crowd who could listen if they wanted to. But when he uttered the word God, the police officer walked over and handcuffed him and hauled him away. Atkins later told the Lancaster Patriot, "Now in this country, God is a derogatory term, which makes me sick to my stomach." Meanwhile, the Pride attendees clapped with approval as the street preacher, who had been peaceful, didn't even raise his hands, was arrested. Are we kind of getting the message here? Wait a second. There's some more. I'm going to connect some dots in a second because this has been bugging me. It ought to bug all of us. I mean, the things that have happened with Target and with Tranheiser-Busch, and now they've put a new – you remember when it was drinking the Kool-Aid that used to mean you were doing suicide? Well, now it's drinking the Bud Light. But in any case, this is the one that if I saw anything that really, really infuriated me, it's probably this. This is from Summit News and Paul Joseph Watson, who put up a graphic that was posted by none other, I'm not kidding, listen carefully, than the United States Air Force. This was a graphic with a rainbow flag on it and a silhouette of a, Air Force something or other. Was it a he, she, she, they? It's not clear. Something obviously, let's just say, not in accord with what would have once been military service tradition. Saluting the flag of the gay pride, saying, "Celebrate Pride Month," and actually the caption says, "June is Pride Month. The Department of the Air Force proudly recognizes and celebrates generations of, I'm going to change one word here, perversions." Although they didn't actually formally come out and acknowledge them and subsidize them until the most recent abominations in the White Whorehouse. The Air Force Global Command, it's hard to even read this stuff, tweeted that our diversity is our competitive advantage. Isn't that funny? Our competitive advantage is our diversity. While we leave the southern border open, send all of our aircraft and our munitions and our things that we might use to defend this country, when eventually the communist Chinese decide, hey, we're ripe for the plucking, and the Air Force, the Army, the Navy, the Marines have essentially, well, the Marines less so, but they're getting there with all of the traitors and the Department of Defense. When they have sold us far enough down the river and enough people have been poison poked and Zyklon B'd and boosted that they're not able to fight anymore. This is, it's beyond disgusting. And I hope you get the message. By the way, Watson pointed out that there was a backlash associated with this. A number of people said, "Are you kidding me? This is happening in the Air Force." And he noted, by the way, that at least one of the people who tweeted about it said, "You know what? It is against the Uniform Code of Military Justice for a sailor, a soldier, an Air Force pilot, you name it, a service member in uniform, to salute anything except the United States flag." I guess this has replaced that in the hearts of the prideful Army, Air Force, and especially, those that think treason has supplanted. Well, it's not just treason. It's an abomination to the God of the Bible that they once put their hands on and swore an oath to. All right, what I'm going to do from here is I'm going to pause just a second, and I'm going to talk about how all of this connects, because I hope it's getting clear. I heard some commentary. I'm in agreement with this. I was thinking along the same lines. There are a number of verses in the Bible that talk about pride. You probably remember the main one, the most obvious one, Proverbs 16:18. And it says this. Now, I used to remember it as pride goeth before a fall, but it turns out that's close. The word pride is awful pervasive in Scripture, and it actually appears in one form or another two ways in this same verse, and we'll get to that in just a second. But it really says the following in the King James Version: "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit," a prideful spirit, a ruach that's prideful, "before a fall," or before a, literally, a collapse or ruin. And by the way, that's the only time that word appears in the entire Tanakh, or aka Old Testament. It's interesting, though. I went and did some searching on this, and the word pride turns out not to be a great word, especially when it's applied to mankind. When it is associated in the Hebrew root, the root word is gaon, and it generally is translated as either pride or arrogance. And for example, in Leviticus 26:19, it is one of those things that's associated with curses. Bottom line is, nowhere in the Scripture is pride a good thing. The only exception is when it is applied explicitly, and in that case, the word is usually translated as excellency or majesty when it's applied to Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the creator of the universe himself. So the word in the Hebrew, again, that's translated as pride, goeth before destruction, is gaion, and it could also be arrogance or whatever. But there's pride, and I think at least we're seeing some connection here with the Pride Month. And a haughty spirit, that word is gobah, and it's also arrogant or prideful or even high, as in high in their own eyes. Remember, folks, the arrogant, the prideful, they're proud because they're higher than, they're better than you because they're more tolerant than you are, unless, of course, you're white, or unless, of course, you believe Scripture, in which case they may just kill you or kill your kids in a public cesspool or a religious school. Are we seeing how this is being set up? I think the thing that ought to really get to people is how all of this has been, well, pre-programmed to try to divide and to create a civil war. And as many are saying now, isn't it obvious? It's beyond that. Paul wrote about it in Ephesians. It is, in fact, a spiritual war. So I'll do one more story here that was from Leo Holman's website. He writes about churches and synagogues and other things, the Muslims, Jews, Hindus, so-called Christians. They're all striving to virtue signal to the advancing one world beast system about how full of pride they are this month. Says Holman, the war in the spirit realm is clearly heating up. In 2023, still, we've seen a bit of growing pushback against the so-called pride movement, whether it's Bud Light, Target, Disney, the Los Angeles Dodgers, or even Chick-fil-A. People are finally making at least some of these evil corporations that serve guess who pay for showing unwanted, for shoving. Showing is one thing. They're shoving these messages down people's throats. There's little evidence, says the author here, that the backlash has actually emanated from the whore churches. Now, that word, as you know, is one that I put in here, and I suggest that it is right out of Scripture. Number of places where the Bible describes the whoring, the two whoring wives, the two houses that went into idolatry, adultery, literally whoring before the Creator, and were exiled as a result. And I have contended for a long time that what we have is the Northern Kingdom, Israel. The whore church is its descendant, and that would be the Romanized, paganized church that has changed his Sabbath, his Moedim, turned things on its head, calling evil good and good evil. On the other hand, in the south, you have the whore synagogue, which later became Judah, the southern kingdom. It's the other way around. The southern kingdom later became the whore synagogue as it went into a different form of apostasy. But the key is both whoring wives, whoring kingdoms, the whore church and the whore synagogue were both sent into and are still in exile. And I will add, for cause. They're still committing the same idolatry, the same adultery. They still have not done what he says, return to me. Okay, so back to the story here. I guess it shouldn't surprise us that you have so many of these interfaith alliance kinds of abominations getting together and saying, hey, let's just be honest. We all worship Satan, the bad guy anyway, right? Ha, ha, ha. We may call him by different names. We'll ignore that one in the Bible. Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. We like Lord better because Lord applies to Satan too, doesn't it? Well, anyway, back to Leo Holman. He says, contrary to this awakening on the part of many young parents, because in fact, it's not the whore church or the whore synagogue that's standing up to the pride crap. It's regular folks, mama bears, papa bears, for the most part, who are saying not only no, but hell no. I like that expression. My dad used to use it. They're not offering their kids up to the groomers and the pedophiles. But Big Brother, his whore church, and his whore educational system certainly is. So contrary to this awakening on the part of many young parents and even older parents, especially because they've seen it for a long time, there's been a noticeable uptick in so-called religious groups that turn out to be, again, worshiping another god. Nothing new there, folks. Both whoring houses, kingdoms, wives have been doing that for, over 2,000 years at this point. Even though they didn't become the whore church until about 700 years or so later. They're still doing it. They're now, even though their holy books characterize this as sin, they're supporting things that are like open homosexuality, a man lying with a man is with a woman, so-called transgenderism, putting on things that pertain to the other sex, pretending you're something you're not, and other aspects, as Holman says, of the sweeping cultural Marxist agenda. Because how do you destroy a society? Well, you destroy the family. You destroy their not only their traditions, you destroy their very faith, the essence of the rule of law, the things upon which a self-governing, honest, safe, and yes, God-fearing society is based. All right, here he turns to an article about well, an abomination called Faith for Pride. That's the initiative being funded and run and set up by the far-left group called Interfaith Alliance, which consists of multiple religions and denominations. Guess what? Almost all of them. Well, I would say all of them without question, but you can do the search. I haven't. Probably 501c3, certainly not serving Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, and Him alone. And licensed denominations, in other words. That includes Christians, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, and so forth. Basically the same cast of characters who will inevitably, as scripture reminds us, come together in their one world religion built around what? We've seen all the pieces. Climate change, racist critical race theory, liberation theology, LGBTQIA+ fanaticism, transhumanism, and all kinds of other globalist causes, Gaia worship, pagan, you name it, folks. All loosely assembled under the banner of ESG scores, and eventually the digital socialist credit score system for all people on the planet, and you may have heard it called the Mark of the Beast. Well, anyway, Eric Lindrum wrote about it for American Greatness, and he noted that this obsession with forcing people to bow down and offer incense to LGBTQIA BS is occurring simultaneously with all these other pushes, globalist IDs, CBDCs, and so forth. They're tools that globalists are setting up to be used for enforcement mechanisms to demand allegiance to the government, to the coming government mandates, and yes, to another god. They tell you it's all about love as opposed to hate. If you don't love their fake god, you must hate everybody. The only thing you're not allowed to do, folks, is talk about the creator of the universe and what he calls love and how you show it by walking in obedience to him, loving him first, and then loving your neighbor as you do yourself. I guess the only way that's permitted is if you love him in the truly disgusting and ultimately anti-scriptural sense. Even if you hold, says the author here, a live and let live attitude, and you don't care one way or another what consenting adults do in the privacy of their own home, which isn't theirs anymore, remember, if the socialists take over, behind closed doors anyway, well, that's still not good enough, because you're not allowed to be neutral. You either support and have pride in the crap that they are spewing and cramming down people's throats, or you deserve death because you're not tolerant and your kids are going to be taken away from you. And if you're not figuring that out yet, well, stay tuned because we're going to continue after we get back from the bottom of the hour break. But understand this. They're already pushing their drag shows on kids, their sexual sex change drugs, surgeries for minors who can't choose to buy a beer, much less to buy a gun, but they can choose to cut off some part of their anatomy that will forever sterilize them and to turn them into something that the God of the Bible calls an abomination. How's that for choice? And my body, my choice. Well, unless you're too young to make a choice, in which case we will propagandize you and then shove it down your throats into your arm and, cut off your breasts and genitalia while we're at it. If you object, and if you voice your objection publicly, you're cast into the group of haters to be vilified by politically correct religious media, public-private partners, and the establishment. Yep, says the author, it's all a trap designed to divide and conquer. Classic gaslighting. But that, folks, is where we're at. And that is what I'm going to contend, and we'll pick it up here when we come back. That is what so-called Pride Month is all about. It's pride, the kind of pride that goes before destruction and literally the fall of an entire civilization. But worse still, it's indicative of something that as we walk in obedience to him, we're going to see just how antithetical to him it really is. All right, I'm going to see if I can't get this one quote in before we go. This is the abomination called the Interfaith Alliance on their website. They say the majority of faith groups and congregations across the country are inspired by their traditions, yeah, not their scripture, to celebrate the inherent dignity and worth of all people, especially those that are preferred, the beloved LGBTQ plus members of their communities. But there is an extremist minority. Hey, they're channeling the same God that Target did, working to distort the meaning of religious freedom, to discriminate. Yeah, they think that when the Bible says to discern, to rightly divide the word of truth, to know that there's a difference between right and wrong, that is discrimination. Und verboten! And we will come after you. Join us as the so-called Interfaith Alliance in celebrating faith for pride. Well, let's be clear on this, folks. Faith in the wrong God and pride in what the real God calls evil. And we'll be right back. We're killing our babies.
nothing but the devil's pawn. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on?
When I think back, it's a wonder I can think at all. And though my lack of education hasn't hurt me none, I can read the writing on the wall. Hold a throne.
All right, we are back, folks. This is the Come Out of Her, My People show. I'm your host, Mark Call. Second segment now. And during the first segment, as I talk about abominations, the scripture basically says are associated directly with what? Judgment, deliverance, and even the very fall or ruin of an entire civilization, especially when it involves killing kids. I tend to get a little bit upset. I hope you do too. And as a result, what I'm going to do, I took a big deep breath during the break. I'm going to go to a couple of pieces and connect some more dots that I think are really interesting. And I will recommend a book by Jonathan Cahn. A lot of you know who he is. A Jewish rabbi who is essentially calls himself messianic at this point. And he is fairly mainstream, as it turns out. But anyway, this book, while there might be an item or two that I would quibble with, for example, when it comes to the great goddess Ishtar, Ashtaroth, Astarte, there are some other names, he tends to avoid the one that might be more familiar to a lot of people, perhaps because of the obvious implications. Same goddess, fertility goddess is called, and most of you know it, Easter. But there's another element to this story that certainly is really important, and he does, I would say, an excellent job of laying it out. There was, speaking of this goddess, Ishtar, the fertility goddess, the transgender goddess, he lays out a lot of the attributes of this abomination that is literally satanic, along with the other two gods that he refers to in this book, the Return of the Gods. That would be Baal, or Lord, and Molech. Anyway, turns out, and he's got a whole chapter dedicated to this, Junium, or June, is the month of her possession. In other words, June is dedicated, and he makes a pretty good case for it, to the goddess Ashtaroth, Astarte, Ishtar. The month is literally indwelled by her. And because the thesis of his book is that these fake gods, he basically says, well, they're real. They're just antithetical to the one true real God. Anyway, that they're returning. And in, well, on page 189, I'm going to go through just a couple of things. I'm not going to read the entire set of pages here, but I'm going to summarize what he says because he makes an excellent case. What would happen, asked Jonathan Cahn, if the goddess Ishtar, the transgender goddess, the goddess of sexuality and perversion, if she returned to the modern world? And the point, of course, is she has. Would she again mark out her claim, lay it on a similar time of year? Would she again create rituals to be performed during that time, observances to be kept, festivals to be celebrated, processions to be followed? And would her spirit especially indwell those days? Would they call them pride, in other words, and that's the case he's going to make? The answer is yes. That's exactly what she would do upon her return to Western civilization. The goddess, in fact, set out to mark and claim a space of time every year as her own, a time that her spirit could especially inhabit. And she was the goddess of pride. It's made very, very clear in the ancient writings. She was very prideful. She is the goddess of pride. Well, that time would be crowned with the name Pride. The time of the goddess, the object of her passions, lasted 29 days, so call it a month. The month of the ancient Middle Eastern calendar that was especially given over to her lover and so forth. Well, it was, it's got various names in ancient languages, but the thesis that the author here lays out pretty convincingly is there was a gay bar in New York City that had a major event. As it turned out, it was in June a few years ago. I'll go through some of that in just a second here. And the place was called Stonewall. And as Jonathan Kahn writes, in the wake of Stonewall, gay activists established marches and parades to celebrate homosexuality, and then they took an entire week. They called it Gay Pride Week. But in ancient times, the goddess laid claim to an entire month of observances and parades, and so Gay Pride Week became transformed into what we have now, Gay Pride Month. To increase its acceptability and further popularize it, the name would later be shortened to just Pride Month, as in ancient times, the spirit of the goddess was given an entire month to indwell and possess. And so, as in ancient times, this month would become known for its processions and parades, observances, rituals, and the increase of her power. Why, hell, folks, even the United States Air Force would say, we are filled with the spirit of a god that is antithetical to the one that wrote the book that we put our hands and took an oath to. We're prideful. And I have a suspicion, this is kind of where I've been headed personally, that he will eventually say he's had enough and show them what their pride is going to get them. We'll come back to that. It was a strange phenomenon, says Jonathan Kahn, celebrating that which once was forbidden and hidden in the dark corners of society. Well, now it's come to permeate and dominate America especially and pretty much Western culture. America and other nations of the West are now devoting an entire month to honor, praise, and celebrate a form of perversion, I'm going to put it that way, sexuality that just a few short years earlier had been nearly universally viewed, especially if you read scripture, as not only a form of immorality, but a sin, and a sin that was called abomination in many cases. A man lying with a man is with a woman. And it carries, folks, according to the Bible, a death penalty. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to do it. No, it basically, if you look at the lifespan that gay-on-gay sex ends up in, turns out it looks like the God of the Bible has a way of enforcing it on his own. Anyway, now it's being treated as sacred. And how is that for calling evil good and good evil? The month of June, Gay Pride Month, was the resurrection of the ancient month of the goddess possession. So now, as in ancient times, we have an entire month given to the indwelling of a spirit that blurred and broke the lines of gender, that feminized men and masculinized women. Does that sound really like what we're seeing? That turned the one into the other and caused them to be paraded in the city streets. And it turns out, oh yeah, very much associated with this, the month of Tammuz was the time of the summer solstice, another pagan high holy day and so forth. Now, I want to read just one more element. The next chapter that Jonathan Kahn lays out here is the sign of the goddess. You want to guess what it is? One sign above all others, he said, has come to represent the movement that originated, started at Stonewall. It is the sign of the rainbow. And how ironic, right? A sign that the creator of the universe used to say he would not destroy the world with water anymore. It was his sign, his bow in the clouds, has been perverted by the fakes into exactly the opposite. A sign that they deserve exactly what he failed to do as well as he had intended. Yeah, folks, he wiped out all except the eight on the ark. Next time, will it be by fire? Probably most of you are familiar with some of the elements and prophecies and so forth. But when you read this and when you see what's been done, you can see that they're literally double-dog daring him and taking a very sign that he said is going to be his covenant that he would not destroy the earth with water anymore and saying, ha-ha, look what we're doing to it. Okay, the rainbow flag was designed by one Gilbert Baker, an openly gay man and drag queen, and it was first flown on June 25th, 1978. In 1994, the sign of the rainbow was officially adopted as the official symbol of gay pride, and it soon became the ubiquitous symbol of the movement, anything antithetical to the creator, and all it represented. And it was flown and recognized all over the world. Hell, it flies at U.S. embassies, folks, in foreign countries, and it seems to have supplanted, as we see with the no longer American defense entities, seems to have supplanted the flag that once was the represented the republic for which it stood. They don't even know it's a republic anymore. All right, so let me move on to one other set of things that I think are vitally important to understand here, and that has to do with killing kids and turning kids into something which the Creator says is an abomination to him. Abomination in general, in other words. And there are a couple of verses. I would encourage you to look some of these things up and think about them, because as I read them, I realized there are elements of the nuance here that could form entire shows. Okay, first one is from Luke chapter 17. The other one's going to be in the book of Luke as well. Then he, the Mashiach, said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him, and we've all heard this, that a millstone hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. In other words, he is talking about the children. The kind of children that what? Are being told in the public cesspools, God doesn't know whether he put an innie or an outie on you. He can't make you right. You have to go and get some surgery. Take some puberty blocking drugs. We'll cut off those breasts if you're a young girl. We'll cut off your penis. In either case, once you take all of these puberty blocking drugs, and all the hormones we're going to inject into you, guess what? You'll never reproduce. That's for damn sure. And you may not even survive to end up past puberty by too long, because it turns out the rate of, depression, drug abuse, and outright suicide among people that have been duped into doing this abomination to themselves that is irreversible, it's incredible. It's beyond a it ought to make people infuriated, folks. All right, one more verse, again from the book of Luke. This is chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. And this is the place where, in fact, the people, parents, tried to bring infants to him, little children to him, to the Mashiach, so that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw them, they said, no, don't do that. They rebuked these parents. So Yeshua called them, and he said, let the little children come unto me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of Elohim. Now, this verse we've all heard, and in this context, I think this is particularly apropos to think about. Okay, he says it this way, assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of Elohim as a little child will by no means enter it. So what's he saying here? Now, we often hear this and say, oh, the little children are innocent. Well, that is until they get put into the public cesspools and they get filled with drag queen crap and told that whatever the God of the Bible says do, we're going to say don't. You have pride, don't you? Pride means you know better than he does. They turn them into something else. But there are those that will point out, psychologists, psychiatrists, those that are understanding of a child's psychology and growth and how the human brain develops and so forth, that essentially little children are very malleable. Little children are very open. They're very much kind of like a sponge. They want to be taught. And of course, that is why Scripture says, teach them when they're young what they need to know. Teach them who the God of the Bible is. Teach them right from wrong. And they won't depart from it when they're older. Because the things that are imprinted, put into young, malleable minds when they're young, in fact, they become things that don't change. Postulates, if you will, in a mathematical sense. They are because they are, because they were implanted when they're young. Well, isn't that exactly what the Mashiach here is saying? Let the little children come to me, don't forbid them, because such is the kingdom of God. I say to you, whoever doesn't receive the kingdom of Elohim as a little child. What does that mean? We're supposed to be teachable. Folks, children are nothing if not teachable. They are like a little sponge. They are open to learning. We're supposed to fill their minds with things that are edifying, things that are true. That is the obligation, the duty of parents. That is why the satanic evil wants to destroy them while they're young, before they get to puberty, before they even know what hit them. They want to destroy them and turn them into abominations to the Creator. Do not let it happen. I've said for years, get them out, get them out, get them out. It has never been more important that parents say, hey, do I love my kids? Well, then the one thing I'm not going to let them do is be turned into abominations to God by a system that hates him and everything that he stands for and literally calls evil good and good evil. So I think, and this is one of the other elements that I've always found kind of fascinating, to receive the kingdom of Elohim the way a little child does means we need to be teachable. We need to unlearn old falsehoods. One of my favorite quotes from Robert Heinlein, to stay young requires unceasing cultivation of that ability. To be like little children, to unlearn old falsehoods. I refer to a lot of the crap that's being taught in the public cesspools, and especially higher education, higher indoctrination, as negative education. Because it's so wrong that you have to unlearn it, like what we see in Jeremiah 16:19. You have to unlearn it so you can get back to being fully ignorant and a blank slate and then start over and this time around hopefully learn it right. whether we're talking about non-existent man-made global warming or calling evil good and good evil and all those other ways that they're famous for teaching, slamming into kids and now slamming it into their arms and in their bodies and cutting off things that Big Brother says they shouldn't want to have anyway, because, hey, let's be honest, we never wanted them to reproduce to begin with, and now we've found a great way to do it. Now, from there, where I'm going to go is this whole idea of pride. Because since we're talking about Pride Month, I think it's important to understand a little bit more about just how the Creator of the universe regards prideful humans that value their own selves, their own pride, above obedience to Him, and above, for that matter, His Word or anything else. I want to start with Proverbs 8:13. If you do a word search on that word that I mentioned, is the root that's used in the Hebrew, ga'on, or pride or arrogance. See, it appears in a number of places, but this is one of the interesting ones. Proverbs 8:13 says this. Now, I'm going to change the word back. Put the tetragrammaton, His name, back in. You know, the Lord is not His name. That was just used to hide it. Anyway, it says, Proverbs 8:13, the fear of Yahuwah is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. Same words, isn't it? And the evil way and the froward mouth. These things, He says, do I hate. Okay, I guess that's fairly clear. How about this one? Psalm 59. Now, this is a prayer by King David. And it says, it's a prayer for deliverance from enemies. To the chief musician, so forth. Deliver me from my enemies, O my Elohim. Elohi, literally, is the word there. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Defend me from the Torahless, the workers of iniquity. And save me from bloody men, because He says they wait, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. No, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Yahuwah. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold, therefore, O Yahuwah Zevuot, Elohim of hosts, Elohim of Israel, awake to visit all those heathen. Don't be merciful to any wicked transgressors, Selah. They return at evening, they make noises like a dog. Yeah, I guess that's what they call fuzzies nowadays. They go around about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Most of them end up in the public cesspools doing that, I think. Swords are in their lips. For they say, hey, who hears, right? Parents aren't allowed to hear, and if they do, why, the DOJ and Merrick Garland's folks will come after them and show them who's boss. Can we see how disgusting what is going on in and how is and how antithetical to Scripture? Back to King David here. Behold, they belch out with their mouths, swords are in their lips, because they say, who hears? But you, O Yahuwah, you'll laugh at them. You shall have all of the heathen in derision. Because of this strength, His strength, will I wait upon you, for Elohim is my defense. The Elohim of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon my enemies. Don't slay them, He says, lest my people forget. Now, this is interesting. No, don't kill these folks. I guess that's too good for them. No, the problem is, you need to scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Yahuwah, Magin, our shield. Because, now here we go. This is the place where the word appears. Because the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them be taken even in their pride and for cursing and lying the things which they speak. Now that, folks, pretty much describes Pride Month and the crap that's being foisted on innocent school children and, for that matter, even the children that their parents knew enough to take them out of the cesspools. This is the abomination that is being slammed down people's throats that the whore church is saying, oh, bring it on! We are all too, we're too scared of the Satan, the host, the prince of this world, and his, goddess. We worship her, remember? We got used to it with Easter Sunday a long time ago. The sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them be taken in their pride for the cursing and lying which they speak. Yeah, that's what we're seeing. It's Pride Month. So He says, consume them in wrath. Yeah, consume them, that they may not be. Let them know that the Elohim that rules in Jacob rules from there unto the ends of the earth, Selah. And at evening, let them return. Let them make that noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they don't be satisfied. In other words, yeah, let them eat their bugs, which they're jonesing for anyway. But I will sing of your power, He says to the Creator. I'll sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto you, oh, my strength will I sing, because Elohim, my God, is my defense and the God of my mercy. So here is a Psalm of David that literally tells us what we need to think about the pride, the haughtiness of those who know better than him. Now, did I mention the fact that that word that is used in the Proverbs there, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit or haughty ruach before a fall, that word there, gobah, also not only means prideful and arrogant, but high, as in high in their own eyes, higher than anybody else. We're so full of pride, we're better than you, we're more tolerant than you, we're more deserving of life than you, and we may just take it away, especially if you're hateful and don't show your pride, if you don't submit to us, because, hey, we're higher than you. Again, there is a consistent pattern here, folks, and we need to say if there's anything that we need to come out of, it's a whore church and a whore synagogue and a whore everything that won't stand up and call this what it is, an abomination to the creator of the universe. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, that brings me to the final of the three. Now, there are lots more in Scripture, but I want to read just a little bit of Isaiah chapter 13 that really kind of helps to set the rest of what we need to understand up here. This is the burden of Babylon, it begins, verse 13:1, which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw. So the prophet is seeing this. Lift up a banner, is it a rainbow banner? Upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the noble. I have commanded my sanctified ones, he says. So no, it's not the pride flag, folks. I've also called my mighty ones for my anger. Even them that rejoice in, no, not their highness, my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains like a great people, a tumultuous noise in the kingdoms of nations gathered together. Yahuwah Zevuot musters the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heavens, even Yahuwah with the weapons of his indignation to destroy a whole land. Now, some of this is talking about the day of Yahuwah, the day of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh at hand. It comes as destruction from the Almighty. Now, is this immediately or is it a judgment? I contend, as a general rule, that there is, in fact, a day that no flesh survives, and that is the really the real one that we want to be hidden and taken out before we get there. But I think we got a long ways to go, personally. That's my reading of Scripture and prophecy, before we get there. But still, as I read the rest of this, he says some things that sound like something that at least is deserved, given what we're seeing this particular Pride Month. It says this in verse 9, behold, the day of Yahuwah comes, both cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof won't give their light, the sun will be darkened, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. You know what? That at least, now there may be other ways to get this to happen, but certainly nuclear winter would cause these things, right? Am I saying that's what it is? No, I'm just saying it's one of a number of possibilities that he might choose to employ. I will punish the world, though, for their evil, he says, and the wicked for their Torahlessness, their literal turning against him, and I will cause the arrogancy, the pride of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. There's that word, and that's the verse where we see all of the Pride Month pieces come together. Let me read it again. I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their Torahlessness, their iniquity, for I will cause the arrogancy of the prideful to cease, and I will lay low, low as opposed to high, right? The highness, the haughtiness of the terrible. I'll make a man more precious than gold, he says, even the golden wedge of Ophir. I'll shake the heavens. The earth will remove out of her place, and the wrath of Yahuwah Zevuot in the day of his fierce anger. So there is more here to it, but ultimately, I hope we can put all these pieces together, because as always, folks, we summarize things with the message, come out of her, my people. And I said for a long time, don't let your children be sacrificed to Molech. Don't put them in a place where sinful, evil, disgustingly satanic people, I don't think they even know what they are, whether they're men or women, she, he, or what their pronouns are. But one thing's for sure. If it has to do with the God of the Bible, they hate it. They turn it on its head, and they want all those little children not just destroyed, they want them dead. They want to turn them into abominations to the Creator, and they are jonesing for exactly what they seem to be in their pride, saying, ha ha, bring it on, O God of the Bible. Let's just see what you've got. And you know what, folks? When you put all the pieces together, look at the things that are in the news. I can't help but think we're getting very, very close to the point where he says what he has warned us about for so long in so many ways through so many prophets. I guess you could say, paraphrase on the movie Network, is I've had enough and I'm not going to take this anymore. Whether it's plagues or the four horsemen of the apocalypse or the cups and bowl judgments of Revelation or fiery judgment or all of the above, which is probably the most likely alternative, it's harder and harder to believe that this time especially, pride goeth before a fall isn't the jackpot answer, and that the haughty spirit of that pride is heading for a fall. So come out of her and that pride and be separate and be aware. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.